It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
It is indeed Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure, everything AFL in the Sunshine State. My name's Nick Davis, joined as always by Jack Fulham and Will Ralston. And unfortunately, boys, a little bit flat this week. Not too much to be happy about.
0-2.
Not great. It's been a few good weeks, but unfortunately, and we'll start with the still second-placed Brisbane Lions having their second loss for the season. Going down to the Hawks in Launceston by 5 points. Got out to a 22-point lead. And I thought we'd just turn it on and we'd skip away, but to Hawthorn's credit, they stuck with the Lions. They kept the pressure on, denied them the ball movement that we've seen and got used to with this club. And unfortunately, it was a bad result. That Will Ralston, you called this on the podcast last week.
Yeah, I don't like playing Hawthorn. I don't like playing down there. And yeah, they out-hunted us. They just outplayed us in the end. And you're right. That was the most surprising part of it, I think, was that we skipped away to a four-goal lead. Was that in the third quarter? It was late enough that it felt like it was enough for us. We just needed one or two more and it was curtains. And they just kept performing. Unfortunately, a lot of players had bad games, uncharacteristically bad games. And yeah, we're lucky enough that we were 8-1 and we'd built ourselves a bit of a platform that we had given ourselves a buffer to have a game like this, but hopefully it's the only one we see this year.
Jack, we throw around terms like reality check or banana peel, and we didn't give this game too much thought last week anyway, but it's a good learning opportunity now for the Lions. They'll take on GWS coming up this weekend at the Gabba. Again, a winnable game, but there are things that still need to be tweaked in this Lions outfit.
Yeah, there is, but as you said before, they're 8-2, and it was, you know, they have been hampered by injuries. Obviously, Dan McStay out, Joey Danaher out, a few new players coming into the setup. Actually, Tom Fulton came in, and I have criticised him in the past, but he
played well.
He actually did some really nice things, Tom Fulton. So, and the ruck combination between Darcy Fort and Big O was as good as ever. So maybe a few defensive structures that need to be tweaked a little bit or just sharpened up for a team to kick, 117 points on the Lions is... We haven't seen that happen in quite a while.
No,
so.
We have not. I may be trying to pick negatives out of this, but this is how we learn. Lachie Neal held to, 25 touches. It's 7 less than his average by Liam Shields. Plastic bagged isn't the term, but there is an effect on the Lions when Lachie Neal has the clamps put on him.
Mm.
We've talked about this as a potential worry. The midfield, we know how deep it bats, but it does seem to have some sort of effect on the Lions.
Yeah, I thought he was best on at halftime, Lachie Neal. He wasn't exactly having a bad game. And Jared Lyons was huge. I thought he was good. And Zorko through the middle, I thought was working. But yeah, you're right. Once it drops away, it really can drop away. I think Hugh McCluggage, if I was going to do my 3-2-1 worst on, which of course Triple M doesn't do anymore, I think Hugh McCluggage possibly would have featured in it based on his output compared to what he usually delivers.
And then the hammy injury for Hugh too.
And then the hammy. But then he's been listed as a test, has he?
Yeah, they've said better than first thought. I do love the term that the Lions website used. Hugh McCluggage is experiencing hamstring awareness.
I do like an awareness. Yeah. he knows it's there.
He's aware of his hamstring.
Which is good. He's a self-aware footballer. So yeah, he has been named as a test so far. Of course, Marcus Adams are laid out of the side with health and safety protocols. Yeah. Dan McStay looks like he's possibly set to return this weekend as well. So we'll see a stronger 22 on the park. Jackson Pryor's 3 goals. I was very impressed by.
I wanted to make a mention of Jackson Pryor. He was fantastic dashing down that wing and hunting forward and getting on the end of a few, which has been good. Like, he spent a lot of time in the side last year, Jackson Pryor, and you thought he had all the components to be a regular, at least 100 gamer player, and spent most of the first half of the season out of the team or as the medical sub. But it's nice to see him come in and put together a good performance, which will hopefully cement his spot for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I really like Jackson Pryor. And he's one of those players that, as you said, he's been given an opportunity and he's taken it. It's hard to make a case for many of the players that have come in to be dropped. The only exception being for the talls, because we just have better talls. And without Adams, Danaher and McStay, we looked a little bit exposed. I thought Payne and Fullerton did a really good job, and we can't ask too much more of them. But Hippie didn't look like Hippie. It was a bit disappointing.
That second game blues, wasn't it? The body was probably a bit sore coming to that second game back for the clubs. When I saw Hume Cluggage go down with that hamstring, a little part of me just thought, if he goes long term, the Lions might get to have a run at Casey Voss in the mid-season draft. The 21-year-old, this has been quiet, but 29 touches in his interstate debut. South Australia took on Western Australia a couple of weeks ago. He was best on ground. Michael Voss has already said he doesn't want him. Yeah. And I just have a little part of me. I don't want to see Hume Cluggage go down, and you'd need a long-term injury for someone to come onto the list. But
tell you what, if I was Devin Robertson or Reece Matheson, I'd be pretty flat if Casey Voss just got parachuted in.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and we can cut this out later if I am wrong, but don't they have a spot to fill Cam Ellis-Yeoman?
Oh, I think you're right. I think that is correct.
I haven't heard any chatter around Brisbane being linked to Voss. I've just made I've pulled a very long bow here, but geez, that would give you some momentum coming to the back end of the year.
Romanticism,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is beautiful. Just a quick, if I get to flick through my excuses book before we move on from the
loss. No,
please do. It's one of the reasons I think we did look so flat in that second half, because we looked puffed. And they didn't really adapt to the cold conditions well, it looked like. But then if we go back 5 weeks, we travel to Metricon, then we travel to Sydney, play West Coast at home, travel to Adelaide, and then travel to Tassie. So that's 4 out of 5. Obviously, Metricon's not a tough trip, but it's 3 out of 4 trips that are significant on the body and on the playing group. And so hopefully another week at home will be good, because then we've got to go to WA, and then 2 weeks later after that, we're going to the MCG. So hopefully this little run of travel means that we can freshen up at home, get 2 out of 3 weeks and sleep in our own beds a bit more, because I think they did look like a bit mid-season down.
There's also that thing is that they're still about another 4 or 5 weeks away from the bye. They're one of the last teams to have their bye in round 14. So, you hope that the Lions... Like, they have a reasonably flat fixture. I think St Kilda's the only real big danger game.
I will say, after that bye, they do get rewarded with 3 of the next 4 games at the Gabba. Lions fans, you can look forward to that.
They're going to have to just weather a tough little period here in the run-up to the bye, hopefully get a bit of cattle back, and then make a real charge at the second half of the season. But, you know, to be 8-2 after 10 rounds of the season, you couldn't give yourself any better opportunity.
You couldn't ask for more. Look, we'll just put a line through that game. We'll mark it down as a bad one, and the Lions can set themselves up.
Banana peel.
We're not too worried about it. We'll go to the Gold Coast Suns, who it was kind of face in your hands sort of game, because despite the Bulldogs just keeping them at arm's length, they were never quite out of the Gold Coast. Eventually went down by 19 points, which with only less than 2 minutes to go, it was back to 7 when Malcolm Roses dribbled one through. But I don't know how to feel about this game, because I think all the chances were there. They weren't taken. The Bulldogs were vulnerable. And
can I just say, I reckon it is one of the best games of football I've seen this year, which is amazing because Ballarat usually produces some
shocking football.
That was
the best conditions I've ever seen at Ballarat.
Didn't it look an absolute picture?
Ballarat it's usually pretty windswept down there as well. With not a breath of wind in Victoria.
Amy, you want to go to Sovereign Hill again?
Yeah, it's...
wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, you're right. It was a very good game of football, and the Suns were never out of it, but the Bulldogs... No, they turned in a performance that you would actually expect from that team, but the Suns matched them for as long as humanly possible.
They really did. Mm. They let Aaron Norton get off the hook in the first quarter and really could have kicked 4 or 5 goals in that first half. But then Sam Collins really clamped down on him in the second half. And Luke Beveridge had some interesting things to say.
Yeah, he did.
About Aaron Norton being taken out of the game. And
do you know what I want to say to that? I want to say a big thank you to Luke Beveridge. We talk about the Pavlich tax of Sam Collins. Thank you for drawing attention to how good a defender Sam Collins is. I've watched the behind the goals footage. That is an excellent clampdown job.
But this, from Luke Beveridge, and it's very wily, it's one of the old Wayne Bennett tactics of making a deposit for next week in the umpiring.
Just a bizarre comment from a guy who's made a series of bizarre comments this year.
He's having a weird year, Bevo, there's no doubt about that.
Okay, Joel Jeffrey.
Yes.
We need to talk about him.
We do need to talk about Joel Jeffrey, and I want to put to you, Jack, because he's just taken out the round 10 Rising Star nomination off an amazing 5-goal performance. Jack, why haven't we seen more of this guy?
Well, it was only his 5th AFL game.
That could be it.
Sixth, I believe, wasn't it?
He did kick 10 goals in a VFL game last year, has all the signs, and he came in for his first game of the year against the Dockers last week.
Right.
In, you know, putrid conditions. He has all the talent, and his finishing ability is,
Oh, it was like, class.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It was almost smart-assery.
Yeah. Of course he did.
There's a genuine, not arrogance, but just a...
flair.
Yeah, real flair.
But that's just a confidence in his ability. So the 20-year-old, because he kicked that winning goal against the Swans in the VFL a couple of weeks back as well.
Yeah.
He's brimming with confidence. And this is a shining light for the Suns, because what I sort of noticed, especially in the first quarter, I think the Suns are maybe a little bit now predictable in their sort of two tools approach with Mab and Levi. The Dogs defenders were doing an incredible job of just getting a fist up there every time the Suns went long to the tall targets. But Jeffrey took full advantage of that.
Yeah, and I love 10 disposals, 10 kicks, 5 goals. Yep. That's exactly the sort of game you want from that sort of player.
Paid
nice
to
see Ainsworth get on the scoreboard as well, because he's been there or thereabouts most of the year.
He was good, Ainsworth. Matt Rowe had an absolute shocker. I think he ended, what did he end up with? 7 or 8 touches. What do you reckon, Will? Is it time that...
6 touches, wow.
6 touches. Is it time that Matt Rowe has a little run in the twos and just tries to get some confidence back? Because he's always going to be under the microscope as a number one draft pick, and especially how like meteoric his first 4 games of AFL football were.
It's almost unfortunate.
They're almost the best first 4 games of AFL football in history.
Of all time,
maybe apart from Chris Judd. So to see him sort of struggling, and there is a thing with Matty Rowe, he makes running look so hard.
It just was it the action, the style, or what?
Yeah, it just looks like he's running in mud.
Okay.
Sometimes. So maybe if he can go back to the twos, beat up on a Williamstown for 40 touches, and come back into the side with a bit of confidence, because he seems a little bit lost at the moment, and it's tough to see.
Would that be better for him than a change of position, perhaps? Perhaps to a half forward flank?
The knock on him has been that he gets a decent amount of touches if he gets 24 touches, and 18 of them ended up being contested, for example, and people saying that he needs to add the outside sort of stuff to his game so that he can be more influential on the game. But yeah, 6 touches, that's just a bad game by any standard. So I don't know. I'm not big on dropping someone for confidence. I'm not sure how much it would do for his confidence.
I think he's definitely in their best 22, without a doubt.
For sure.
But you're right, 6 touches is alarming, especially for an inside midfielder. So
it is one of the things with the Suns at the moment, is that they have a host of players knocking on the door at VFL level that have been really good. Charlie Constable, who they picked up from Geelong in the offseason. He had 34 touches on the weekend. Jeremy Sharp had 32 in the VFL. Sam Flanders is also another mid replacement. So it's one of those things with the Suns, which they haven't had a lot in their history in the comp, is some depth. There's some guys knocking on the door, pushing for spots. So yeah, it's an interesting one, because the media scrutiny is going to be there either way. And it's that kind of thing. It's like, are you guaranteed a spot because you're the number one draft pick? Or if you're Stewie Jew and you're trying to set a message on what level of performance is acceptable from your team, do you just draw the line and say, you know, you've played 80% of time in the midfield and you've had 6 touches?
I'm just reading that hypothetical headline, Suns drop number one draft pick. It just leads into, you're not going to do it to prevent that, but it's not a great storyline for the Gold Coast Suns.
The sharks start circling, don't they?
But yeah, at the same time, and I was listening to Tom Brown's news update yesterday on the Listener app, hearing that there's possible discussions in the back end of the Suns that they're already looking to renew Stuart Jew.
Ooh. Wow.
There's a little bit of whispers around there at the moment, so we'll keep our ear close
That's
to the ground there.
It's an interesting scoop.
It is.
Yeah,
so,
well, they're going to make finals. So
You're right. Well, they are going to make finals, and the next stop on the journey is Hawthorn Saturday night up at Darwin. So
which will really suit them too.
Yeah, they love the slick, wet conditions. Yeah. They've played well there.
Slippery footy is Suns footy. So
they're four and six at the moment, and look, despite the sort of roll-on we had going into the game against the Bulldogs, still in a very, very good position to set up their season. And now, fellas, before we go, there's one thing I want to bring up. The Allies squad. This time next week, it will be named, for all of those who are listening outside of the northern states.
Just in time for Origin.
Just in time for Origin, how it usually works. New South Wales named their rugby league side on a Sunday night. Queensland will name theirs on Monday. But that's not what we care about, because on Tuesday, next week on Northern Exposure, the 2022 Allies side will be named. Jack, please.
And I want to throw down the challenge to our cousin brothers in Western Australia. You've got the bump and the Western Huddle.
Yes.
And
yes,
also the guys that do the midweek rub down in Victoria. Name a Victorian side.
Name a side.
Jack, do you want me to pass that on to the Duck?
100%.
I would love that. Yeah, come and play for us, Duck.
Who's going to tag Ben Keys,
You're
Duck?
From Wagga Wagga, Duck. Never forget that.
I think it's more of a Joey Montagna sort of area.
I really think it is as well. But yeah. I will say, so last time we ever saw the Allies was 1998 up at the Gabba. They got rolled by the Vicks. But in their four games, two losses to Victoria, two wins over WA. They're our bunnies.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So next week on Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure, the Allies 2022 State of Origin side will be named. Watch out.